a friend of mine, a pastor friend up north around the Decatur area, he posted on Facebook, told us a little bit of a story, and he said he was at Sam's yesterday, him and his wife and his little girl, and they go to Sam's and they needed stuff for the church. They went there to buy some supplies for the church, and so he was in, walks into Sam's just like any normal day. Lee and I was at Sam's yesterday, and Kate, I like going to Sam's sometimes. They got good deals there. Anyway, there's this guy that approaches them and starts yelling and screaming at them. And he says, he starts saying, "You're the reason our gas prices are too high." And he goes in this big rant about it's, you know, very, very angry, hateful. And Justin said that he just kind of, him and his wife, and he grabbed his little girl and they just kind of went on their way to get away from this guy. And he said this guy kind of just followed them around a little bit, kind of harassing them. And so he said, "We finally just grabbed what we need and just we got out of there." He said, "I got to the car," and he said, "I sat down in the car," and he said, "I looked," and he said, "I realized I had a patriotic shirt on." And he said, "For whatever reason, you know, you think that patriotic shirt set somebody off. That's not normal behavior, is it?" But this is the world we live in. I mean, I've been reading, you know, ever since Charlie Kirk was killed, I read all kinds of things from people that I'm surprised that they would say the things that they have been saying. And you know, you may not agree with everything that he stood for. That's okay. No man's perfect. But let me tell you, when you start celebrating somebody's death because of the values that they stand for, now we're talking about end time stuff, right? Or we're talking about biblical stuff. You know, all the disciples were martyred for their faith. And Jesus himself said, "People will hate you because of me. They will hate you." And we live in such a sheltered world that now we're starting to see a few of these things, and it's alarming. Wow, I never thought I would see this. There's a lot of things. I mean, how many of you said, "I can't believe what I'm seeing? I can't believe what I'm watching. I can't believe that this is happening here in America. I can't believe this is happening in my hometown. I can't believe this is happening in my school." But it's not at all what I was going to talk about today, but it just kind of, this story I did want to read or tell you about with Justin, but my message is really not about end time stuff, okay? But in Deuteronomy chapter 31, verse 6, very familiar passage. We've heard it many times. It says, "Be strong and courageous and do not be afraid or terrified because of them. For the Lord your God goes with you. He will never leave you nor forsake you." Isn't that a wonderful passage? You know, Joshua, he comes to a place, it's really a pivotal moment in Israel's history. Moses was, he had died, and the position of leadership has now fallen on Joshua. And now Joshua stands at the Jordan River. He's thinking about all the fortified cities of Canaan, and he's dealing with a people still prone to fear and forgetfulness, because they were always forgetting what good things God had done for them. And I think about this, be strong and courageous. That's not just a suggestion in the scripture. That's not a suggestion to Joshua, is it? He's really commanding Joshua to be strong and courageous. It be strong in the Hebrew, that it means to seize up, to seize, to strengthen, to fasten upon. It's not mere emotional fortitude. It's a gripping tight to God's promises. And courageous, there it means to be alert and brave and solid. And God is saying, face what's ahead of you, not because you're able, but because I am with you. See, we may face some crazy things coming up, because if we go back to end time stuff, Paul says it'll be perilous times in the end, before the coming, right? It'll be perilous times. He even goes as far to say that children will turn their parents in, and parents will turn their children in for believing in him, for following Christ. I can't imagine that, can you? Well, I can now. Because let me tell you, I know some kids that have disowned their parents because their parents are Christian, conservative, God-fearing people, and they don't agree with that. And they've totally cut their parents out of their life. They want nothing to do with them. And they celebrate the murder of a man who was doing good things, right? And I'm not here to idolize Charlie Kirk. But it's just a taste of what's to come. I'm not trying to terrify you of things. I'm just trying to give you, it says, be alert, right? Be alert. Be on your guard. Be watching out. But don't be afraid and don't be discouraged about what you see. I get discouraged sometimes watching the news. I admit that. But I need to remember the scripture and what it says. These things will come. Trials will happen. But when you see these things, pay attention. You'll see these signs happen. But when they do, be alert. Be courageous and be strong. Don't stop spreading the gospel. Don't be afraid and discouraged this morning. God addresses two of our biggest spiritual battles right here. It's fear and discouragement, right? Fear and discouragement. For the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Can we remember that? God is with you. If you accepted Christ into your life and you're a believer, God is with you wherever you go. Amen? You become the temple of the Lord God Almighty. Amen? We have to remember that God goes with us everywhere we go. The foundation of our courage is not in ourselves. The foundation of courage is in God. The foundation of our courage is in Jesus Christ. Amen? We shouldn't be afraid, even though we are sometimes. It's okay to be scared of things, but we have to be strong and courageous. The gospel message, even here, we need a Savior with us, not just a strength within us, right? We need the power of the Holy Spirit in us. You know, we live in a world that's all about self-help, self-care, self-awareness. I can just keep going with that self stuff. And along with that, it's what makes me happy, what makes me feel good. It's all about self. And the scripture teaches us, it's not all about yourself. It's not all about what you can do. It's all about what God does through you and in you. Courage begins when Christ is our focus. And Christ should be our focus at home, in our personal lives. And Christ should be absolutely our number one focus here at church, right? It's the center of who we are. And if it's not, then we're wasting our time. God's presence is our confidence. Amen. In Isaiah chapter 41, verse 10, it says, "Do not be afraid, for I am with you. Don't be discouraged, for I am your God, and I will strengthen you and help you. I will hold you up with my victorious right hand." I like that, don't you? My righteous right hand. Isaiah, he kind of echoes this Joshua promise, "I am with you," right here. And in both Hebrew scriptures and in the New Testament, God makes it clear his presence is our confidence. To fear, to be terrified, that word there. But the scripture continually teaches us when God is near, fear must flee in our life. That's where the disciples got their confidence, right? After the day of Pentecost, before that, guess what? They were terrified. They were running scared, weren't they? After Christ was crucified. But then after the day of Pentecost, what happened? That fear went away. They were preaching bold in their faith. They were casting out demons and healing people. Peter said, "Silver or gold I do not have, but I have Jesus Christ. And I can give you Jesus Christ." And a man was healed. What does it mean for you this morning? For me, it means that I don't need all the answers. Because trust me, I don't have all the answers. I just need to trust the one who is the answer. Amen. That's who we trust, the one who has the answer. The cross reminds us that God does not abandon his people, not in Egypt and not in the wilderness, not at the Jordan, and not on the cross. And Jesus is the ultimate source of our courage. In John chapter 16, verse 33, it says this, "I have told you these things so that in me you may have peace. In this world you will have trouble, but take heart, I have overcome the world." Amen? He says in this life, he didn't say that you won't have problems, right? We're all going to have problems. I've got problems, big problems sometimes. He says, guess what? I'm going to be with you. You don't have to, I'm going to be right there with you. Take heart. You can overcome it. Because I did. I like that word, take heart, because in the Greek it means to be of good courage, to have boldness. Jesus doesn't hide the battles that we have. He highlights the victory. Amen? It's not that you're not going to fight things. It's that you're going to get victory over it. Even if that battle leads you to die on this earth, guess what? You have victory through Jesus Christ. Hear me. Because this world is not our home. Amen? Sometimes we fear what's going on in our life. We have these battles. But Jesus said, why are you worried about those things? Why are you worried about your life? Don't worry about your life. Because guess what? You're going to have eternal life with me. It's not going to be this short life here on earth. Our courage isn't just about our endurance. It's about trusting the one who defeated sin, defeated death and hell, and he's still with us today, each one of us. So I want to remind you that the greatest act of courage in history is the cross of Christ. Hear me? Romans chapter 5, verse 8 says, but God showed his great love for us by sending Christ to die for us while we were yet still sinners. And in 1 Corinthians 15, 3 and 4, it says, Christ died for our sins just as the scripture said. He was buried and he was raised from the dead, and on the third day. The courage of Jesus wasn't avoiding suffering. It was embracing the will of the Father for the sake of our redemption. Amen? We know this, right? I like the, you know, if Christ faced the cross with courage for our sake, then we can face the future with courage for his sake. Is that not true? Courage for us today is, church, courage is not the absence of fear. Like I said, it's faith in the presence of God. And we may be facing a Jordan River. You may be this morning. A broken relationship, a financial crisis, a health challenge, or a job opportunity that you don't know how it's going to be. But God says, be strong and courageous, and for the Lord your God is with you, and wherever you go, he's there. And in the battle, we're not called to retreat. Are we? We're not called to surrender other than to Christ. We're called to stand strong in the Lord. And in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10 and 11, Paul declares this. He says, a final word, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. You know, Paul's writing from Rome in prison, and he gives this urgent command to believers. He says, be strong and put on the full armor of God and stand firm. And I don't think that's a suggestion. Is it? It's a divine call to action. If we're going to advance the kingdom, we need to be strong and courageous, don't we? He says, go and be strong in the Lord. There in Ephesians chapter 6, 10. He says, a final word, be strong. That final word, be strong in the Lord and his mighty power. That be strong in the Greek, it means to be empowered, to be made strong, right? Not just to be strong yourself. I mean, people can go to the gym and get pretty buff. They can be pretty strong. I've known some pretty strong guys. But let me tell you, I've seen some of those strong guys get defeated pretty quick. Anybody watch MMA? Brenda? That's good. That's cool. I don't watch it a lot, but I've seen some pretty tough guys go in there that think they're tough, and eventually you will get beat. You can't do it on your own. The words used in Philippians chapter 4, verse 13 says this, for I can do everything through Christ who gives me strength. You notice that? Everything through Christ is what gives me the strength. This means our strength doesn't come from ourselves. It comes from the Lord. In Isaiah chapter 40, verse 29 through 31, it says, he gives us power. Or he gives power. He gives strength to the weary, and increase the power of the weak. Man, I love that. In 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 9, it says, he says, my grace is all you need. You hear me? My power works best in weakness. So now I'm glad to boast about my weakness so that the power of Christ can work through me. You think about that, what Paul is saying. God's power is perfected in our weakness. We must stop relying on our own strength and start relying on God's strength. We got to spend time in prayer, and I hope your prayer life is strong. I hope it's good. I hope your worship is good. And I'm not talking about just here this morning when we sing some songs. I'm talking about worshiping God even when there's no music playing. Can you do that? Praising God for the great things that He's done. Praising God even in your weakness, saying, I know you've got a plan. You've got a way. I know that you have. You believe that this morning? That's where we draw our strength from the Lord, is in our time of prayer, in our time of worship, in our time of study. I say it over and over again. You want to know God? Read your Bible. You want to know Him? Read your Bible. Can you imagine a lamp unplugged from the power source? No good, is it at all? It can't shine. No matter how new or well designed it is, no matter what wattage a bulb it has in it, it's not good at all unless it's plugged into the source. The moment it's connected, the light shines brightly. And that's why it's so important that we stay connected to God's power. In Ephesians chapter 6, 11, it says, go and put on the armor of God. That's an action. Put on all of God's armor so that you will be able to stand firm. That put on, meaning to clothe oneself, to be fully dressed. Romans chapter 13 is also uses this. It said, instead, clothe yourself with the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ. The night's nearly over. The day is almost here. So let us put aside the deeds of darkness and put on the armor of light. Amen. We have to intentionally choose to put on the armor every day. Every day. I hope you're doing that. Colossians chapter 3, verse 12 says, the weapons we fight with are not the weapons of the world. On the contrary, they have divine power to demolish strongholds. That's a good scripture, isn't it? Can you imagine a firefighter who would go into a burning house, burning building without his protective gear? A soldier wouldn't step onto the battlefield without his armor. And likewise, we need to never step into the world unprotected, because God's armor is essential. When we get up in the morning, before we go to work, before we go to school, before we go anywhere, we need to put on the armor of God. We need to be prayed up and ready to go, right? Amen. Paul gives us some reasons. He says, so that you will be able to stand firm against the strategies of the devil. So humble yourselves before God. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. Satan's such a deceiver. He's got so many people messed up right now, doesn't he? So many people are messed up. And it breaks my heart. 1 Peter 5:8 and 9 says, stay alert, watch out for your great enemy, the devil. Stand firm against him and be strong in your faith. 2 Corinthians 10:4 says, we use God's mighty weapons, not worldly weapons, to knock down the strongholds of human reasoning and to destroy false arguments. So many people, our battle is fought with spiritual weapons and not human effort. So we have to recognize that we are in a spiritual battle. We have to recognize that there's evil spirits out there that want you to fail. They want to take you down. They want to tear you apart. The closer you get to God, the harder they're going to fight you. If you've got issues, and we all do, if you've got things in your life that you're trying to get rid of, let me tell you, Satan will fight you hard, keep you in that. So we have to recognize where the battles are. We got to stand on God's word and pray fervently and resist the devil's lies and declare that we stand firm in Christ and the enemy has no hold on you. C.S. Lewis once said this, there is no neutral ground in the universe. Every square inch, every split second is claimed by God and counterclaimed by Satan. Man, that's a powerful statement. Satan is a counterfeit. So Ephesians 6:10, it calls us to action, to be strong in the Lord and rely on His power, and not our power, but His, and to put on the armor, spiritually equipped, equipping ourselves every day. And we have to stand firm against the enemy, and we have to hold our ground in faith. Amen? So each day, I call you to pray and to put on that full armor and stand firm in faith, and don't allow fear and doubt or deception to shake you up. Don't get caught up in this world today and all the garbage that goes on. Don't get caught up in that. Don't let it discourage you. D.L. Moody said, the world has yet to see what God can do with men and women fully consecrated to Him. Let me tell you, man, you want to see a world change. You want to see a community change. We get right with God. We start fighting that battle courageously. Let me tell you, a community will change. Your hearts will change. Things will happen. Not in your might, but in His mercy. And not in your wisdom, but in His word. And not in your strength, but in His spirit. Amen? The Lord God is with you, and He's with me, and He's everywhere we go. Amen? Everywhere we go. So be strong and courageous. Can you imagine what Joshua felt in the battle that he had to fight before him? All those are examples of what God can do through you. He did it through Israel, but He can do it through you. And the battles you face in your life, there's nothing that God can't do. Well, I say that, but there is something God can't do. You know that? You know what God can't do? He can't lie. It's true. So I guess that there are things God can't do. God can't break His promise either. God can't fail. That's a good one. No, he won't make you love him. That's the choice that we make every day. You're either for God or against him. And I had a conversation this week. I was like, you know, we're at a point in this world today is there's no, and the scripture teaches this, because there was a church that was like this and Jesus called them out for it. You're either on one side of the fence or the other. You're either for Christ or against him. There is no middle ground. You're either hot or you're cold. There's no lukewarmness, right? So you're either following Christ and obedient to Christ and his commands and his teaching, or you're not. There's no gray area in it. Sometimes we like the gray area. Makes us feel good that we can try to play the game with both. But let me tell you, it doesn't work out. So be strong and courageous in your faith. Have a great afternoon.